In your Bible, page 506, and stand with me as we read God's Word together. The 145th Psalm, we're going to begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 18, page 506. Let's read God's Word together. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The Lord look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. God bless you. Thank you. 11 days ago, Hurricane Michael came ashore approximately 100 miles west of here. Homes were destroyed. Lives were lost, businesses were devastated, and lives were disrupted. At present count, and this was Thursday, it may have changed since then, but as of Thursday, at least 26 people lost their lives during this massive hurricane, estimated by the National Weather Service to be the third most powerful hurricane to make landfall in the United States. In describing what it was like when Hurricane Michael blew through the panhandle of Florida, the following quote was printed in the local paper, and I quote, "We stood in the room, we prayed. Every time you wanted it to stop, it would hit harder and harder and harder." You know, as often in times of danger, our first thought is to call upon God. Someone correctly stated that there are no atheists in foxholes. A quote reminds me of the story that is told in the Gospel of Matthew of Jesus walking on the water, and Peter decides he'll get out of the boat and walk toward him. It begins verse 28 of Matthew 14. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." He didn't take time to recite the Lord's Prayer. He didn't try to put the prayer in good King James English. It was three words consisting of 10 letters, "Lord, save me." You know, the word "call" that we saw in Psalm 145, verse 18, is the Hebrew word "kara," spelled Q-A-R-A. And one of its meanings is to call on God's name to summon his aid. Vine's Expository Dictionary put it this way, "Calling in this sense constitutes a prayer prompted by recognized need and directed to one who is willing and able to respond." Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "To Seth also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. And at that time, people began to call on the Lord." Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." There is certainly a sense the scripture tells us, in which in times of danger, in times of trouble, in times of persecution, in times when we do not know what to do, we should call upon God. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 and 13 tells, as Jesus was entering a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." John chapter 4, verse 49, the Roman official called out to Jesus and said, "Sir, come down before my little boy dies." Acts chapter 12, verse 15, while Peter was in prison, the church was calling out to God for him. There is a sense in which we are to call upon God in times of trouble, in times of danger, in times of distress. But calling upon God is not just meant to be only in times of problems, in times of danger. We're invited to call upon God, to pray, to seek His assistance throughout the day. God is more than just the 911 of heaven. In fact, the psalmist in 145 verse 18 links God's presence with our desire for His presence. Listen to it again. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, who call on Him in truth. Not just the Lord is near to those who call upon Him in danger, those who call upon Him, you know, when they're in a problem, but those who call upon Him. The psalmist also said this, "Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law." And now listen to this part. "Yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true." There is no magic formula for calling on God. The message today is not three ways to call upon the Lord. But I want to share with you, and I promise to go quickly, there are beautiful promises in His Word that we can stand upon when it comes to calling upon God. The first one is this: your problem does not impede His presence. Your problem does not impede His presence. Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." But I love how the message put it. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, He'll help you catch your breath. You know, sometimes we think that God is turned off by our problems. That God is, you know, God is almost like, you know, I'd like to get closer to you, but you've got that in your life, that problem, that sin, that habit, that propensity for something. You know, all of us have things in our lives that we say, "Lord, I wished I didn't do that." Sometimes when you get angry or upset, a word comes out of your mouth and you think, "Lord, I don't want to do that. Help me in that area." You get frustrated. You know, your wife, your spouse says something and it just hits you the wrong way and you get frustrated and all of a sudden you say something and realize, "Man, you know, I wished I wouldn't have said that. Lord, help me in that area." You've got a sickness, a problem, a child. You say, "Lord, you know, I wish I could stop this, Lord. I wish I could change this." And we think that God sort of gives us the, "Okay, well, I can get 10 feet close to you, but I can't get any closer than that." That is not God. Our problems, our situations, our circumstances, our struggles do not impede His presence. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 3, beginning of verse 1. "Oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me," and listen to what they're saying to Him, "there is no help for you in God." But now listen to what the psalmist says. "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord and He answers me from His holy hill." Isaiah 25, verse 4, "You have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat." Listen, don't let How you see yourself or what somebody says to you or what you're going through make you feel like, well, you know, as soon as I can get this problem worked out in my life, I'm sure God would love to come near me. God is drawn to you. God is drawn to us. God is not disgusted by us. God does not say, you know, if you could just stop this. You know, I asked Sherry permission to share this because it's one of the funniest things I think she's ever said to me. One night, I guess the electricity was off, and we were just talking, and I said to her, I said, honey, when you see a man, what are the two things you look at? What are the two things you're drawn to? She said, well, his face and his body. I said, well, what attracted you to me? She said, your personality. But then her mind started clicking. She said, but it came out through those beautiful blue eyes you have. God is not drawn to your looks or your personality or drawn to you because of your money or drawn to you because it looks like you got everything in life worked out or you're a really good person, so God is drawn to you. No, God is drawn to the person who says, Lord, God is drawn to the person who says, I'm here. God is drawn to you and I. Secondly, promise number two, with God's presence, you are immovable. Psalm 16, verse 8, the psalmist said this, I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I want to tell you, that's a beautiful promise. But the emphasis is on the first part of it, where David said, I keep the Lord always before me. It is a daily choice. I make a decision every day, Lord, walk with me. I make a decision when I pull up to a business, before I grab my briefcase, I make a decision, Lord, I ask for your favor. Go with me. Give me favor. Give me the right words to say. It's a daily decision that you and I make before we go about our day. Father, walk with me today. Guide me, lead me, direct my steps, Lord. We pray it every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer when we pray that part about deliver me from evil. Lord, be with me today. Promise number three, he answers your call. Psalm 91, verse 15, the Lord said this, when they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. There is always an and that follows God's promise to be with us. God said, I'll be with you, and when they call to me, I will answer them, and I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue them, and I will honor them. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you've not known. It is not just God comes along beside us. God comes along beside us, and he brings an A-N-D with him. There's always a follow-through when God comes to our side. Promise number four. You will find what you need when you need it. God never arrives too early. He never arrives too late. The writer of Hebrews said this, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of God with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace. And now listen to these last six words, to help in time of need. To help in time of need. When I'm talking today about the Lord's presence, I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm not talking about something that says, ooh, I really feel God right now. No, I'm talking about the assurance that God is with you and that God is guiding you and leading you. And he has in his provision everything that you need. And he provides it for you at the exact moment that you need it. I think one of my favorite commercials on television is the Farmers Insurance commercial, where the guy comes along and he's telling you about this situation, and you see the little story, you know, it's the guy cutting down the tree and the squirrels start throwing acorns and pine cones at him, or it's this or that, and he says, you know, farmers always has a solution. And of course, you're in good hands with Allstate. God is not, let me rephrase this. God is more than an insurance agent. An insurance agent that we call upon when life hits some rough areas. Well, you know, I think I better pray. I don't know what else to do. I better pray. You know, I've done everything I can do for my children. I better pray. I don't know. The doctors give me bad news. I better pray. My finances are really rough. I better pray. I just lost my job. I better pray. No, God is there, but God is more than just the genie that we pull the top out of the bottle when we need him to make an appearance. I'm reminded, and it's in my notes, so I don't want anybody to think, well, he did that because of Ron's song. It's right here. I'm a light sleeper. It doesn't take much to wake me up. I can remember when my sons were little. And I can remember sometimes at night, it didn't happen every night, but I'm talking when they're 3, 4, 5 years old, you'd hear one of them cry out. And I mean, I was wide awake, my feet hit the floor, head into their bedroom. I didn't lay there and think, now I wonder why they're bothering me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I wonder why they can't resolve this themselves. I wonder why they ate pizza tonight and now they had a nightmare. That never crosses your mind when it's your child. The only thing that crosses your mind is, how fast can I get there? I was talking with a lady Friday night at the fish fry. We were standing there by the swing, and one of her children was swinging, and I was standing there talking to her, and all of a sudden she started running, and I'm thinking, that mullet breath must be terrible. She started running to the other swing set. She had a little toddler who was walking along behind the swing set. She grabbed that child by his arm and lifted it up and took about 4 steps and set her down just that quick. That's God. That's God. God listens for our call. No matter what it involves, he's listening for our call. He's not asleep somewhere. He's not grouchy. He's not grumpy. He's not going to say, well, you know, I thought we dealt with this yesterday. Here you are again, same problem. No, God's listening. Psalmist said, the Lord is near to those who call upon him. I want to encourage you. Tomorrow morning, before you head into the kitchen to get that first cup of coffee, call on him. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face today, but I'm asking you to be with me. I'm asking you to guide me and lead me and guide me in the ways of truth. Before you walk into your office tomorrow morning and you're thinking, oh man, I've got to face this problem and that problem and this situation, that situation. Before you walk in the office tomorrow morning, just pause for a moment and say, Father, be with me today. Give me the wisdom that I need. Show me what I need to do. You see the situations I'm facing. Help me, Father. Before you go in the classroom tomorrow, you're walking toward that school door, great time to say, Father, be with me today. Guide me and lead me. Show me what to do. Give me the wisdom that I need for this day. You see what I'm going to face. I don't know what I'm facing, Father, but you do. And I'm trusting that you're going to be with me. The Lord is near to those who call upon him. Yes, in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the storm, you can call upon the Lord and he will be there. But he wants to walk with you and I every day, to share life with us. Father, I thank you today that you do come and draw near to those who call upon you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we confess today that we desperately need you. We can't handle life. We think everything is going smooth, but Lord, we are one phone call away from major issues. Lord, we have to look to you. We choose, Lord, not to wait until we're in the midst of the storm to say, Lord, save me. Lord, we choose to walk with you every day in life. And we thank you, Father, that you tell us you'll never leave us, never forsake us. We pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. Ken's coming to lead us.